Hello and welcome to the Frog Fever Basketball Podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. I'm Tori Couch, a writer with Killer Frogs, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, former TCU women's basketball player Janice Juke. Janice played for Horned Frogs from 1986 to 1990 and recently learned she will be inducted into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame on August 12th. She is the first TCU women's basketball player to achieve this accomplishment and is already in the TCU Athletics Hall of Fame. So today we're going to talk about this accomplishment, Janice's TCU career, and kind of what she's been doing since graduation. So very excited to have you on today, Janice. So first off, welcome, and how are you doing?
Well, Tori, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm doing wonderful, as a matter of fact, just because I'm still, I think we talked earlier that I'm just still in shock about the whole thing, but so excited and humbled to be part of that induction and being part of the legacy of the Southwest Conference. It's mind-blowing and humbling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that's kind of where I wanted to start was when and how did you find out that you were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? Kind of what was your initial reaction?
Well, I got the call from Krista Martin, I believe her name is, with the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, and gave me a call and said, you're being inducted. And at the time, I had a little inkling. I was talking with Jill Pate from TCU, and she said, you might be up for it, and it's something that might happen. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't think much of it. And then when I got the call, I was just floored. And then I was like, what? Huh? I'm sorry. One of those, I'm in shock, but so excited. And like I said, I was excited to get the phone call, and I was even thrilled to see the class that I'm going in with. I'm in such a well-deserving class and just honored to be part of that.
Yeah, well, and when you got that call and kind of once you were able to kind of process what it was there maybe a first phone call or first person you were like, I have to tell them that this is happening?
Yeah, well, there was a few. First of all, it was all my family. I had to call all my family, let them know. I'm like, you're never gonna guess what just happened. So they were my initial. I've got a very close-knit family. I've got three sisters. We've always been really competitive in our family. My mom and dad always had something for us to do in the backyard when we were growing up. So they were up my first call, and then of course I reached out to my former college coach Fran Garman, who's still with us, and she's living in Moody, Texas, which is even better because it's only a few minutes for her to drive down to Waco. So she will be there. So I'm excited about that. She was at my induction at TCU. My high school coach will be there. So, I'm going to be surrounded by a lot of friends and family and TCU family. So I'm pretty pumped.
Oh yeah, that sounds just like an incredible support system. And you mentioned your family and you grew up in Pop, Texas, which today it's a little under 2,000 people, and it's near San Antonio. What was it like growing up in a small town like that? And did you ever imagine you would play basketball at Division I level, let alone all these accomplishments that we're talking about?
Oh gosh, it's so funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I went, it's called Poth, as in
Both.
both of us, but with a P. And it was a 2A town. I grew up on a farm where we raised cattle. My dad owned meat market. We had a couple meat markets, and so we not only did we just have to go to school, we had some chores too, which I think all leads into the work ethic that we had and how we were raised. But I was playing during high school, and TCU got on my radar, and this is a funny story. Fran Garman knew a farmer from Jerdanton, Texas. It's about 30 minutes from Poth, and we were in their district, and then he saw me play. So here's this farmer riding a tractor, during the days, goes to evening games and gives her a call and say, you need to get down here. I think we got something down here that might interest you. And that's how they found out about me, amongst other ways, but that was one of them. So she came down, did a home visit, and once I got to the campus, I was sold. It was a good fit for me at that time.
Well,
So.
yeah, I guess, yeah, talk a little more about that recruiting process because it's obviously very different than it is today with social media and
Oh.
it's hard to be hidden, kind of a hidden gem,
Yeah.
if you will. So, I
Yeah.
mean, just talk a little bit about that process for you.
Yeah, one, I'm glad social media went around. You know how I think all us older people are like, thank God we probably would have been running a lot more lines than our coaches would have figured out. But yeah, you know, it's more of word of mouth. And it was, you know, you had a lot more of the in-person visits from those college coaches coming into your gym with the high school. Even back then, there wasn't AAU was just starting to kick off, and it was bigger in track than it was basketball at that time. You're talking early 80s. Obviously mine was 86 through 90s when I played at TCU, but those early 80s, you got your foot in the door with the track. And you know, and most people don't know this, from 82 to 83, they had a rule out there that if you went to a basketball camp and they thought you were going to play on varsity as a freshman. So I was in eighth grade. I could not go to camps at that time if they thought I was going to be a starter on basketball, a starter, I mean, on the varsity team, which I thought was asinine because you're just trying to get better. That rule has completely changed since then, but
Sure.
that's another tidbit from way back when, right? But yeah, so it was, you know, it's one of those things where you get to get the contacts in the gym with you, and you start talking, and then they do visit you at the school, and then you go see them on the campus. And you know, it's between Houston, I looked at Houston and TCU, and there were some other schools, but I remember Greg Williams being at Houston at the time, who came into our house or into my home and kind of did his spiel. So it was between those two.
Oh wow. What
Yeah.
sold you on TCU?
Well, again, I'm a farm town girl, small school, small town. When I walked on the campus, fell in love with just the close proximity of the university and how it was set up. I enjoyed the number of class. I know that most people are like, really? You thought about that? I'm like, yeah, I wanted to be known on campus. I wanted to know my professors, and I wanted them to know me. And fortunate, it worked really well. You know, Dr. Lacey, Dr. Southern, Dr. Pope, I knew them. They had a personal interest in me and my success at academically. So that's what. And then once I met the girls and Coach Garmin, that was a no-brainer. We hit it off perfectly, and I felt right away, I knew that was the place.
Ah, no, that's always a nice feeling to go in knowing you feel good there. Yeah. Well, and you've mentioned your coach several times. She was inducted into the Women's College Basketball Hall of Fame back in 2000. Talk about what it was like to play for Coach Garmin and just kind of the program that she ran.
Well, if you know Coach Garmin, she is a stick of dynamite. She's only 5'4", if that, maybe 5'2", but she packed a punch, and she didn't hold anything back. And she was good for me in that she held me accountable, held all of us accountable, and just, you know, she came with so much background and knowledge. You know, she came from a junior college who won over, what was it, 13, six, I'm going off my memory here, but 16 national championships at Temple Junior College before she even got to us. I mean, you're talking about a woman who was the first to beat the Russians in USA play. So she had a lot of good accolades and a pedigree, you know, that went with that. But, you know, loved her, still have a good relationship with her today. We talk, you know, every once in a while, which is always good. So I was very blessed to have her.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about pedigree. I mean, she had one and you built one for yourself at TCU. You broke the 1,000 point and 500 rebound mark for your career, and you're still in the top 15 in TCU program history for career rebounds, career rebounding average, single season scoring average, field goals made, and points scored. I mean, that's a lot of success. That's a lot of things to still have your fingerprints on 30 some odd years later. What do you think allowed, what helped you be such a successful basketball player? What kind of drove you?
You know, I never looked at the records. I know that's kind of cliche. All us athletes, we're driven by goals and such, but I really enjoyed practice, and I enjoyed getting that knowledge. There was so much I still could have learned. I wish I would have had an extra year, even after my 4 years are up. Now it's common knowledge, you go 5, 6 years almost with your career. I figured by my senior year, I finally figured things out, and I was like, oh, this is what it is. And they all really slowed down for me, and I was like, oh, I'm going to dominate now. And then all of a sudden my career is over. But there was just, I was driven just to succeed. I was a small town girl, and I had some people who said I might not make it in a big time conference and in a big city, and I wanted to prove them wrong. And I'm okay with playing a chip with a chip on my shoulder. So I'll prove you wrong. And I still did that. I carried that into my career too. I'm like, I wasn't afraid to try things. If I failed, I failed. We'll just pick it back up, pick something else up, and go with it. And I think that's been the biggest thing. You can fail and be okay with that. It's not mean, doesn't mean you're a failure for life. It just means you failed at one thing and you learned something and move on.
And I think
So.
that's a very valuable lesson to just learn from what happened and move forward. Well, and you mentioned that you kind of started to figure things out as you got to be a senior, and that was the year the Southwest Conference included you on their all conference team. You were the recipient of the Southwest Conference Scholar Athlete of the Year award that year, and later were named to the 1980s All Decade team for the conference. At the time when those things were happening, were you able to grasp kind of what those awards meant, or do they mean more to you now, maybe?
That's a great question, Corey, because I thought about this the other day. Somebody asked me, he goes, what are you thinking about all this? And I go, when I pulled out those awards because I'm gonna give them to the museum. If they want them, they can have them. And it's like, at the time, I was grateful, and thank you for recognizing that, my hard work was paying off. But didn't know the impact until just now. As I sit back and I think about the Southwest Conference and the history it has, the tradition, the rivalries, the level of competitors that were on there in the league, I'm in awe, and I'm truly just I'm so blessed that I had the baggage, you so want to say, or the pedigree to even be put in that group. So I'm just, again, I still kind of shake my head and go, what the heck is going on here? But I'm very excited, and like I said, I'm proud that I played during that time. I'm sad that league is not here anymore. I wish it was, but things change and we go, and that's why we have these. So to be part of the legacy of the Southwest Conference, I'm so stoked about it.
Well, yeah, you kind of mentioned, this conference doesn't exist anymore. It kind of did in a different form in the Big Eight a little bit, in the Big 12, and now that looks totally different.
Totally.
But yeah, to know that you're going to be part of something that is permanent, Southwest Conference, they're not suddenly getting more people. I mean, just to know that you're part of something that permanent, what does that mean to you?
Wow, you know what? And first of all, I've got to thank TCU, and they gave me the opportunity to get an education and to play something that I loved, which was, basketball. So if I didn't have that vehicle, I don't think we would be talking here today. So I've got to thank. That's why, I'm still a avid backer of TCU. I try to do a lot of things there on campus when I can. Now that I don't live there anymore, closer to them, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But I still see me having my, I'm still going to reach out and see what I can do. But, it's, through them, that's the only reason. That's the only way I would have be here today with that opportunity to get that scholarship and do some of these things. So again, just thankful.
Well, and obviously TCU, like you've mentioned, had a huge impact on your life. What are maybe some of your most memorable moments from both the basketball court, whether it's practice or a game or just travel, and then off the court as well? What are some of those things that stand out to you?
Gosh, there's so many things that flood in, right? So what do I share with you? Oh gosh, they always the teammates, my teammates, I was so it was great to have the ladies that I had play next to me. They pushed me. A couple that stand out. Carol Glover was our I played with her for a year too. Then she became my GA, and I think I didn't really know how to work out and really deem what a true workout was and be consistent in that until she's like, look, you're staying with me this summer. It was my freshman year. And she said, you're going to stay here. We're going to work out all year long and go with it and see what we could do. And I was like, okay. So I bought into that. But if she wouldn't have taken me by the lead a little bit and led me down that path, I don't think it would have given me that opportunity to do that later to some of my teammates. So I'm grateful for her. You know, those late night trips coming in off the buses. You know, we didn't have charters like they do today, so everything was on a bus. Or if you're flying commercial, you're stuck in airports, whether it's in Denver, Colorado, stuck in snow storm for a day, trying to sleep and take over a whole airport. Those are the times, and just playing games with, you know, my teammates. And academically, you know, there's so many there too, because I remember, you know, the library, the you know, we always talked about, okay, who's going to the library? We would just go as a team sometime, just take three or four of us and go sequester ourselves in the basement and just study, and, you know, really starting to get that chemistry even there, even through academics. So very thoughtful on what my teammates did for me even back then. Jack Hasselbrock was our academic advisor at the time. And gosh, I don't know what I would have done without him. And I hear he's going to be at the induction too. So I'm looking forward to seeing him there, but he helped me out through quite a bit.
Yeah,
So.
I know a lot of former TCU athletes say the same thing about him. He was just so impactful and really helped kind of guide their time too.
Yeah, had your back, and just kind of was a grounding kind of source of confidence for you to even to that passed it on to you. You got this. You can do this. We just have to do this, and, you know, just kind of made it feel like home, a home away from home, if you want to say that.
Yeah. Well,
So,
and you were an correct me if I'm wrong, education major?
I was physical
Yeah.
education. I got a bachelor's and a master's in that.
Did you have other
So,
teammates who were doing similar majors? Or were you all kind of from different majors?
all different majors. We had, you know, they business, we had accountants, we had, you know, journalism, we had, you know, broadcast, radio, TV, film is what it was called at the time. I don't know what it's called today, but one of my teammates did. But yeah, I thought at an early age I wanted to coach, whether I didn't know that was high school or college, but I knew I wanted to be in athletics in some form or way of fashion. And so that's why I went down that path. So it allowed me when I graduated from college, I had one look at a foreign team play. Germany had seen, piqued some interest with me about playing. Wasn't exactly what we wanted. So Coach Garvin said, listen, you can either do this and or you can go straight into, and you want a college coach. And I said, I definitely want to be in college coaching. So she said, well, why don't you stay here, get a master's, and I'll put you in as a graduate assistant. And that started my career in college athletics.
How
And
long
so
did
that's the route.
How long did you coach at the college level?
Let's see. I started at TCU, and then went to high school for 2 years, and then jumped back into college. So I've spent over 13 years in college athletics, and went from TCU to Seguin High School to Southwest Texas at the time. Now it's called Texas State University, but I was at Southwest Texas in San Marcos, and then I went to Texas A&M University. And then my last stint was at the University of North Texas in
Okay.
Denton.
So yeah, so
So,
you
and that's
kind of
where
did a little big old loop around the
I.
state in a sense.
Yeah, I always stayed in. I had opportunities to move out of state. I just never wanted to. I wanted to be closer to home. I'm a family girl, so I didn't want to move too far away.
Well, and so yeah, you stayed in Texas for all these coaching opportunities. When did you kind of maybe transition out of coaching, and what kind of talk about that decision to transition out and what you did next?
Well, and right after probably 2007, no, 2000 and yeah, 2009, I'm sorry, 2009, I made a choice to, you know, we weren't making what they make today. I think you and I discussed this a little bit earlier, that you just didn't have the type of salaries you see today in women's sports. And tired of the getting on the road all day long. And it was my passion. I still love the sport and the game, and I miss a lot of things from that, but just needed to do a little bit more with my life. And so I chose to take a leap into business, and a company took a chance on me, and I got into sales, and it was a perfect niche for me, because that's what you do when you're in college. You're a recruiter. So you're selling yourself, your program, your school to individuals. And you know, I've never met a person I couldn't talk to. So it kind of came easy. It kind of came easy. And I had some really good people around me that helped with the transition and was very successful in that. So I rose up through the ranks with that company and I was good to go.
So, are you still with that company now, or are you with a different, kind of doing something a little bit different now?
So a couple of years back, I retired early. And you're saying, wow, you're young, but my dad has Alzheimer's. And so I took a conscious effort and thought process to, if I have the ability to go or to retire early, I wanted to be there for him and my mom. And that's what I've done. So I retired early. I moved closer to them. So now I'm able to see them and help them at any time in any place. And it's just been a godsend. So.
That's fantastic. Is there, like I said, you're not necessarily working kind of that day-to-day grind now. Is there any party that maybe wants to see if you can help with high school coaching or anything like that? Has that thought crossed your mind?
Well, and again, TCU gave me a vehicle to put my passion back in it. Before I was, when I was living in Fort Worth, in Denton 2 years ago, it's been, man, I've been doing it for probably 10 plus years, but they allowed me to do color commentating or color analyst for women's basketball. And it was great because it gave me a chance to get back and see some of my old coaching buddies that were still around, and then to see great basketball to enjoy and to be there right front and center. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. I'm really sad that I won't be able to do it now because I've moved away. But I haven't really thought about, going into instructional or anything like that. I'm always there if somebody wants it. Absolutely, I'm right there. But in a very formal setting, not yet. I'm still enjoying getting out. I've got a we live on a farm. My parents live on a farm, so right, a lot of my energy now is keeping things afloat on the farm and doing stuff there too.
Well,
So I'm back at my roots almost right where I grew up. Baled hay. I'm feeding cows the hay back then. Now I'm helping with that same here. So comes full circle.
it's amazing how that works.
Yeah, right.
Well, and you mentioned that, yeah, you had the opportunity to do some color commentary for the women's basketball program. So you're obviously very familiar with kind of what's been happening the last several years and last season, new coach under with Mark Campbell come in. There's a lot of changes, some very unusual adversity that you don't to the level that you don't see every year. But they still made it to the postseason for the first time in 5 years. And now he's brought in a whole new group of transfers and has a good chunk of returners. What's just kind of, as you're watching this as a former women's basketball player for TCU, what's kind of your thoughts on kind of what he's doing with the program?
Well, and you're right, the landscape for college athletics today is so totally different than when I went to school. But the transfer portal, has made such a huge difference in bringing quick success sometimes to universities. But and with that, you have to have somebody who can identify those individuals that are good for your program and fit in to your philosophy and what you're trying to do. And I think that's one of the things Mark Campbell does so well. He's a solid guy, speaks from the heart, and he is who he is. And I think that resonates with kids. And he knows what his program's going to do and how he can help them if they want to get to that next level. And he has the evidence to show that with his former players getting to that next level. So, he's done a great job with the team, and I can't wait to see how it goes. Of course, Haley Van Lith is in Paris right now playing the 3-on-3. I think she's going to do really well, and I think her and Sedona Prince will have a great duo combo going for TCU this year. So I can't wait to see them in action.
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of that 3-on-3, just get a feel for what Haley's going to bring to the table. And I think she's going to complement Madison really well.
And
And like you
Madison, yep.
mentioned, Sedona. And just watching the 3-on-3 has been fun because I didn't know much
Yeah.
about the rules and stuff at that kind of international level. It's fun, it moves quick. But I've enjoyed watching it.
It's kind of really taken off. I don't know if I remember you saying you're from Iowa, right?
Idaho.
Or Idaho. I'm sorry, Idaho. Sorry. Oh, that's a bad, don't get me wrong. Idaho. But we had what you called Hoop It Up. I don't know if y'all had those type tournaments, but we had them. They were really big here in Dallas when we were, right after my playing career. So we went straight into that. Nancy Lieberman hosted a bunch of those 3-on-3. It was a whole weekend. And I think it got so big across the state. They were, you know, I had friends of mine and my teammates that stayed in it for 10, 12, 15 years after they graduate and really traveled the world with it. And so I think the popularity helped spur that being an event in the Olympics, which is just another avenue for them to showcase their talents. And it's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about the growth of popularity specifically with 3-on-3, but basketball itself has had a lot for women's basketball has had a lot of growth lately with Caitlin Clark and just kind of things like that. What's that been like for you, watching all of that, having played at that level?
Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, those, and even watching some of the 5-on-5 teams, the Taurasi, the BGs, the, Stewies, they're just that, to see the level of play just incrementally get better every year, and to see these breakouts from these kids, it's like, are we ever going to hit the ceiling? And every year we have somebody new just break that glass ceiling and keep moving. And I think it's just that's what you're seeing now. This there's a she's just opened Caitlin for sure has opened up the door for many, for those that just want to dream and take it to that level. So I'm excited to see it. I'm glad to see the TV revenue and the TV exposure for it, to see women on in front and center, because I think they have a great product that they put on the floor and it's good to watch. It's good basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think those are all the questions I kind of have for you, and that kind of is all the time we have
Okay.
for today. This has been such a great conversation, Janice, and I'm so grateful for your time and willingness to talk about your TCU career, Southwest Conference, and all these wonderful things.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And I can't wait to see everybody, and hopefully I'll see you sometime when I'm back in the Schollmeyer Arena. And I look forward to it. Thank you again so much, and like always, go Frogs.
Go Frogs, yes. And we will definitely be thinking of you on August 12th as you are officially inducted into the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. That is so incredibly exciting. And I know everyone's proud to be a Frog and support you on that.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes. And thank you to everyone who tuned in. Again, my name is Tori Couch with killerfrogs.com. Until next time, have a great rest of your day.